just from the top of my heart and head, just instead of trying to follow the notes, do a little bit of review just to remind you of where we are and what we've been talking about now for several weeks. We began, let's go all the way back to January. The Lord spoke to us and said that he wanted this year to be a year marked by our serving and by our giving and serving and expressing love through giving and serving. And from there, we've looked into the scriptures to see that when we were born again, we became a partaker of the divine nature of God. And we know that it's God's nature to love and to express his love by giving and serving. And because we are a partaker of the divine nature of God, our nature also is love. It's our nature to give. It's our nature to serve. Now, we're a three-dimensional being, and your nature is that innermost part of you, your born-again spirit. But then we also have a soul, which is the part of us that thinks, feels, and chooses. And, of course, that part of us has been programmed by worldly wisdom and worldly thinking that is opposed to the wisdom of God and the ways of God in our lives. And so we are all committed disciples. Somebody say amen to that. We are disciples, not just born-again men and women, but we're disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he is teaching us and reconditioning and renewing our minds so that we will, with his help, develop a lifestyle that is compatible with our new nature, a lifestyle that enables us to tap into the vast resources that Father God has not only made available to us, but has freely given to us. Now, the last two Sundays, we've spoken under the title of priming the pump. And I know that's real basic and simple, but of course, what we see in scripture is that our heart is both physically a pump and it is also spiritually a pump. In the same way that your physical heart in your chest, the valves and the chambers that are pumping blood through your body 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen. Mine, thank God, it's strong and it's been doing it now for 58 plus years. Amen. Think of that as, you know, just the amazing. I mean, you know, if we had a lawnmower that cranked every time we pulled it the first time for 58 years, we'd be calling it a miracle, right? Amen. Think about a lawnmower that would run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 58 years. Amen. Without breaking down. So thank God for him sustaining our biological hearts, our physical hearts. Amen. But of course we know that the physical part is an expression of a spiritual original. If anything that's physical in nature, there is a spiritual original that it was fashioned after or that it was patterned after. In other words, God didn't pattern your spiritual heart after your physical heart. He patterned your physical heart after your spiritual heart. And so we know that God is a source of all life and that the physical heart is designed to pump life through our bodies. But then in the same way that our physical heart is a pump, our spiritual heart is also a pump. And the Bible says, from it spring forth the issues of life. Now, last week we looked at those verses in Proverbs 4 where the Bible instructs us to guard our heart with all diligence. And we looked at several different translations of that verse to really, you know, I think capture the essence of what he's saying there. And literally he's saying that we need to, of everything in our lives that needs to be guarded, we need to guard our heart above all those other things. In other words, there's nothing more important for you and me to guard than for us to guard our spiritual heart, because whatever we allow in it, it's going to pump and draw and produce in our lives. Now, ultimately, the plan of God was for men and women to be born again, to have the divine nature of God, the kingdom of God, the wealth of God's kingdom, the resources of God's kingdom, the power of the Holy Spirit, all of these things in our innermost being, and for our heart to pump those things out of our life into the world around us. Amen. I know I'm really skipping over some things, and if you weren't here the last few weeks, some of this may seem almost bizarre to you. Those messages are free, by the way. They're on the internet. I encourage everybody to listen to them again, even if you've heard them once, because these things are so critically important. But, of course, what we also see is that, for example, if we prime the pump of our heart with negativity and unforgiveness and complaining, and we see that unforgiveness can quickly become bitterness, the Bible says that your heart will then pump that out of you. Amen. And even when it comes to that bitterness that the devil wants to get into people's hearts, he says that it'll it'll be pumped out of you, and it will defile many people around you. The writer of Hebrews through the Holy Spirit explains this. So that, of course, would be an opposite to what God's desires are for us. In other words, He doesn't want bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart being pumped forth from your life, defiling people around you. But instead, He wants good things, wholesome things, right things, true things in your heart being pumped forth from your heart. And instead of defiling people around you, it being of blessing and benefit to people around you. Amen. And so this idea, and we're going to come back and talk some more about this, but we speak in terms of priming the pump. This is speaking of words and actions that initiate flow. And we use the example of an old pump that, well, it don't have to be an old pump. It could be like a pump that pumps water in a swimming pool. If air gets trapped in the line, the pump will not pump air, and you'll literally burn up the pump trying to pump air. So you have to put water in it to bridge the airlock so that the pump then can use the water to pump more water and pump more water and pump more water. And so when we speak in terms of our own spiritual heart, we have to set our heart on the things of the Spirit. And that's a deliberate, intentional action. And I'm going to throw another word in this morning. It's one that requires initiative on our part. It's one that requires initiative on our part. So when we talk about a deliberate, intentional action, we're talking about something you and I do on purpose. We're talking about something you and I say on purpose. We're talking about something that we act upon on purpose. Amen. Now, I don't know how many of you have read my book, Becoming a Threat to Addiction. You say, well, Pastor Mark, I've never struggled with addiction. Well, you don't have to have struggle with addiction to become a threat to addiction. Okay, so let me remind you of that. I'm not selling books. I'll give you one. Amen. But in chapter 8, there is a title. The chapter's titled Keep Flying the Plane. And in chapter 8, we break down the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we compare the law of sin and death to gravity. It's a law that's acting upon you. Amen. But then we compare the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to Newton's laws of motion, which ultimately equal our ability to take flight and overcome gravity. Now, someone who is flying in an airplane has not shut off gravity. They're operating in a law that has enabled them to overcome the effect of another law. In other words, because we know how to operate in the laws of lift and laws of motion, which we could say laws of flight, now, by operating in those laws, we're overcoming gravity and are able to fly. Are you following me on that? Okay. So, but watch this now. The law of sin and death is a law that acts upon you like gravity. If you're going to overcome the law of sin and death in the same way, if you're going to overcome gravity, you're going to have to act upon. Do you see the difference here between a law that acts upon you and one you act upon? Are you following me? Amen. So anybody who ever thought they accidentally took flight found out real quickly that they were wrong. Okay. Are you following me? Because gravity takes over real fast and when you hit the ground, and I've got stories, but I don't have time for them now. Amen. Okay. So some of those stories ended with broken bones. Praise God. Amen. And shout out to my dad who was there to carry me to the emergency room and get the casts. Amen. All right. So praise God. Amen. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I love you. So, but now watch this. Okay. In order to overcome a law acting upon you, you have to understand a law that will produce an opposite effect and then act upon it. So acting upon it speaks of what? Again, a deliberate, intentional action. It's not something that happens randomly or accidentally. And one of the things, and I've got a whole list of these, but, you know, I had a brother tell me one time, he says, you know, I know how y'all worship there at Heritage. He said, I just, you know, he said, I just feel like, a lot of people must be hypocrites when they worship the way they do. And I'm like, man, that's kind of a strong word. He goes, well, look, he said, I don't feel like we should, or believe or think or whatever that we should worship God unless we feel something. He said, now I'll lift my hands if I feel moved upon by the Spirit to lift my hands. Okay. So notice now, Again, do you see the issue there? Because the Bible doesn't say worship God when you feel like it. The Bible says offer a sacrifice of praise. And so, listen, there are a lot of people who put on and draw attention to themselves and what have you. I'm talking about the body of Christ, not necessarily here at Heritage. Okay. Some of you years ago, remember a lady who unfurled a really long flag down here at the front, you know, and was waving it, knocking, you know, messing up this coiffed hair, you know what I'm saying, with it. So, and again, she may have been sincere in her worship or whatever, but everybody in the building wasn't worshiping God. They were like, what is that woman doing down there? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, there are people who draw attention to themselves and again, not trying to be harsh or critical. But the reality of it is this. If we wait until we feel like worshiping God, we're going to worship Him very rarely, if ever at all. It's kind of like what we talked about last week when, you know, Matt and Vanessa and Daniel, they had set aside 30 minutes to practice and 2.5 hours later, they're like, you know, we probably ought to, you know, get some sleep tonight. You know what I'm saying? In other words, because their initial actions that were deliberate and intentional, it primed a pump that initiated a flow that they then got caught up in and even lost in. Next thing you know, 2.5 hours have gone by and you're like, what's happened to the time? So this is what we're talking about. So priming the pump, again, this is something we act upon. It's realizing that within us are many good things. The Bible says acknowledge every good thing that's in you. That peace is in you. Joy is in you. Life is in you. Peace is in you. Power is in you. Amen. The kingdom of God and all of its wealth and resources is in you. The wisdom of God is in you. Every answer you'll ever need is in you. Amen. Every turn and junction and decision that you need to make in life is already, God's already got it made. He already knows. He's already, all these things are in you, right? So the challenge then is how do we tap into this? And this is what we mean by priming the pump. And this is the part that the devil never wants you to understand. And even if you understand it, he directs something, and we'll explain this in a little further detail in a moment, but he directs something called resistance at that one thing more than any other thing, because the devil knows that if you and I act upon the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, if we act upon this new nature that's in us, that God put in us, how do you act upon that? Well, if your nature is love and we express it by giving and serving, you act upon it by giving and serving. And you don't wait till you feel like giving and serving to act upon it. But when you act upon it and you overcome the resistance of giving and serving, that's when you prime the pump. And now all of a sudden, all these good things that are in you start to flow up in you like this, you know, wellspring of salvation, rivers of life, fountains of life that Jesus says are already placed in you. Amen. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we'll look at verses 10 through 14. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Now, we've preached on these verses, a few years ago. We preached on these things for months. I'm not going to try to do that this morning. But I do want you to see these things in light of some other things that will help us ultimately see the bigger picture. So Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 10, it says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." Now, we're going to circle back to this in the days to come, but we have been mentioning at different points over the last several weeks that we are no longer under the law, but we are in Christ. And a lot of people are trying to function in Christ the way one functions under the law. And we do not function in Christ the way we function under the law. So it's a different approach. It's a different perspective. It's a different mindset. It's a different attitude. Okay. And one of the things is, like, under the law, we were trying to drop a bucket down a well and pull something out from God. In Christ, You don't access the wells of salvation with a bucket and a rope any longer. You access the wells of salvation by opening a valve, the valve of your soul. So there are many things that, and the list of notes keeps getting longer and longer, but this is one of the things that he is addressing here, is that we are no longer under the law, and we're not justified by the works of the law, but we're justified by faith and because of God's grace. But now let's keep going. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, come on now, you need to get excited about this, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. So we see that we were all pinned down underneath the law, because that law and our inability to fulfill it and live by it, we therefore were under the curse that it brings. So we weren't just under the law. Being under the law meant we were under the curse of the law. Jesus came underneath that law. He fulfilled it, and then he lifted the curse off of us and carried it away, so that now the blessing of Abraham, come on now, could come upon even those who were not biological descendants of Abraham. You don't know, I'm not Jewish by physical birth, amen, but I have the same blessing, amen, upon me now as Abraham. So just real quick, blessing is more than something you say over your food. It's more than something you say when somebody sneezes. Blessing, biblically speaking, is referring to a supernatural empowerment given by God for you to prosper. Empowered to prosper. Someone who has been blessed by God has been empowered by God to prosper. And we see that God blessed Adam when he created him. And then Adam's sin separated him from the blessing and exposed him, and by the way, all of his descendants, to the curse. To the curse. Now we see and let's go to Genesis 12 now. We see now that God is taking the blessing that once was upon Adam, and now he's placing it upon Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. God's calling him out. Are you with me? Anybody remember the sermons a few weeks ago, breaking from the pack? Breaking from the pack? Abraham, he broke from the pack. Why? Well, first of all, God knew that he wanted to do something in Abraham that was bigger than, you know, where Abraham was at the time. But in those days, and certainly we do so in our day and time, but in their day, family meant protection and safety. Large clans and extended families would dwell together, and they would defend one another, protect one another. And so to isolate yourself and separate yourself from your family in their day was just, I mean, almost unheard of. But what's in the implications here? That Abraham is going to trust God to take care of him. He's going to trust God to provide for him. He's going to trust God to lead him. Matter of fact, Abraham says, okay, where are we going? And God says, I'll tell you when we get there. And I think sometimes we overlook the faith that Abraham had, even in these early days, to follow God and to respond to God. So he broke from the pack. Now look at verse 2. I will make you, God speaking to him, a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now there's a lot that we could talk about here. But the key thing that I want us to take from these verses is that God blessed Abraham so he could be a blessing to others. God blessed Abraham so that he could be a blessing to others. Not just so that Abraham could be blessed. Was Abraham blessed? Yes. We could spend the rest of our time together this morning and all of our time for the next week talking about how blessed Abraham was. Abraham, the Bible says, was very rich. Okay. I mean, I could give you example after example of how prosperous and blessed that he was. Amen. And according to Abraham, when he had opportunity to take spoils of a great victory, he refused the spoils because he said, no one will look back years from now and say, I made Abraham rich. When I'm rich, everybody will know that God made me rich. And God made him rich. So please don't think, you know, because what happens is one of two things, and it's neither one of these, in other words, is the way we need to understand this. Number one, that God just blessed Abraham and made Abraham rich, just so he could be a rich man, okay? The other way people look at this is that only reason God blessed Abraham was so that he could bless everybody else, and Abraham was to remain impoverished or poor or broke himself. It's not either or, it's both and. Are you following me? In other words, did God bless him? Yes. Was he rich? Yes. But just so that he would be blessed and just so that he would be rich? No. God blessed Abraham so he could be a blessing to others. God blessed Abraham so that he could be a blessing to others. So let's break this down. God empowered Abraham to prosper so that he could empower other people to prosper. God helped Abraham succeed so that he could then help other people succeed. Are you seeing the pattern here? Now, again, the pattern is bigger than maybe what you've noticed. Maybe you have noticed it, because this is a pattern for our salvation. God has called you and me out from darkness. He's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, into the kingdom of light and life. He has brought us forth from the curse and brought us into the household of God. And we now are dwelling in Father's house forever. And again, there's a lot of teaching we could do here. We've done it in the past. I'm trying to hit the high points here because I'm wanting us to understand how this pattern applies to you and me. Because my brother, my sister, we have also been blessed. We have also been blessed. Amen. God's not going to bless you. He has blessed you. Amen. But he has blessed you so that you can be a blessing to others. That doesn't mean he doesn't want you to also experience and enjoy a whole bunch of good things in your life personally. But we have to understand the pattern. The pattern is blessing you so that you can bless others. Empowering you so that you can empower others. Good to you so that you can express the goodness of God to others. So that you and I become living examples of a living God who is a good God. Amen. God wants to prove his goodness to you, but he also wants to prove his goodness to others through you. Amen. Are you seeing this? And for some reason, it's sad to me, but for some reason, though, there are many in the body of Christ who they get this look on their face like they just smelt a dirty diaper or something. And say the prosperity gospel. Are you following me? I had somebody talking about this recovery program that's in the state of Alabama. And they were talking about how nice their facilities are. They're talking about how well paid their staff is. They were talking about how good the food is. They were talking about how new all their furnishings are. Talking about how new all their vans and vehicles were. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. Praise God. And they're going, yeah, but you know, that church believes in the prosperity gospel. I'm like, praise God, they believe in the prosperity gospel. Are you following me? It's like, yeah, well, it's almost like they got it illegally. It's like they stole it. You know, it's like, amen. You know, and this man is telling me this is very prosperous. He lives in a much nicer community than I do. I was like, who prospered you? See, that's the thing we don't realize. But the prosperity gospel has never been just for you and me to be prosperous. There's a purpose for the prosperity. How many times has Jerry O'Dell stood in this pulpit and said those words? There's a purpose for the prosperity. God wants to prosper his people so that his covenant might be established in all the earth. takes money. Who benefits from the body of Christ being broke? Certainly not God. Certainly not God. So do you see why the enemy fights this and resists this? On one side of the road, he's trying to get everybody in the ditch of a vow of poverty, and the more broke we are, the more busted and beat down we are, the more spiritual we are, the more holy we are. And then if that doesn't work, he wants to push us over into the other side of the ditch, where if you don't drive three Cadillacs and have at least one Range Rover in your garage, you're not spiritual. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That if you don't have a certain level of income, that you're not a faith man or a woman, you're not doing it right. And it's, so you see error on both sides of this, when the reality of it is God, not only, I'm going to show you this in the Bible in just a minute, but it's not that he wants to bless you. If you've been born again, he has blessed you. You have been blessed. You have been blessed. You are more blessed this morning than you will ever understand this side of heaven. You have been empowered by God to prosper. You have been empowered by God himself to prosper in this life. Everything you put your hand to, prosper in this life. You put your hand to raising children, prosper. You put your hand to a business, prosper. You put your hand to selling cars, prosper. You put your hand to digging ditches, prosper. Have a fleet of excavators and backhoes and dig ditches for the United States government and be a billionaire. You follow what I'm saying? Whatever you put your hand to, prosper. That's what God said. And it's, you say, well, you know, I'm just waiting for him to do this for me. That's part of your problem then. You don't understand. You're not waiting for him to bless you. He has already blessed you. Blessing is inside of you. Are you seeing where we're going now? The blessing that's in you, though, it's not just for you. And it's when we realize that, hey, it's this deliberate, intentional act of being a blessing to someone else. We have been blessed to be a blessing to others. So God has blessed you and me. Listen now. He has blessed you and me with the blessing of Abraham. We looked at that in Galatians. And with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, so that we can be a blessing to others. We see this in Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So we have been blessed with the blessing of Abraham. And the blessing of Abraham obviously was more than material or physical blessing. Okay? It was much more than that. But that was when a Jewish man or a woman heard the blessing of Abraham, they automatically thought material blessing. They automatically thought material wealth. They automatically thought one of the most blessed, one of the most, you know, wise, godly, righteous, amen. I mean, he's their father, and he's our father too, if you don't know that or not. Praise God. Amen. Father Abraham. But in addition to the material prosperity and blessing that was upon Abraham, that's now upon you and me, that same, blessing that was upon Jesus Christ, amen, that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So both the material and the spiritual. Are you following me? Amen. Now, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If we were to continue reading into chapter 2, we would see that not only have we been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we're now seated together with Jesus in those heavenly places. Amen. Amen. And we also see that the kingdom of heaven has been given to us and now is in us. I know this is, listen, you have to understand this by faith. You have to embrace this by faith. You say, well, if the blessing of Abraham is upon me, why am I not experiencing more prosperity? That blessing is first and foremost upon your born-again spirit. But now, the inward realities of the new birth becoming outward expressions of life. Are you following me? In other words, what's true about you inwardly becoming manifest or becoming expressed outwardly. Now, let's not forget this one extremely, oh, thank you, Jesus. This one very, very important part. Amen. It has to begin with acknowledging it. We have been blessed. We are not waiting to be blessed. We're not believing to be blessed. We're not hoping that one day we will be blessed. I have a friend, he does very expensive home remodels and builds homes in Mountain Brook. He works with some very wealthy clients. And they tear down houses and build new ones over there. I mean, it's just amazing the wealth that's there. And he had just finished tens of thousands of dollars remodel in the man's house. And he had bought, I think, some property next door. And standing there in this, I don't know, $2-3 million home, they were standing outside, and the man points down to his property. He says, when my ship comes in, I'm gonna. Did you catch that? When my ship comes in, I think he says he's gonna build him a tennis court down there. And my buddy's like looking at him like, dude, you still waiting on a boat? Amen. But how many of us have that same attitude? What we're going to do one day when we... One day God's going to bless us so we can be a blessing. No, He's already blessed you. He's already made you a blessing. He's already made you a blessing. But see, notice now, we got to acknowledge. Do you see the difference here? We've got to acknowledge every good thing that's in us. We got to acknowledge that we have been blessed. You know, Pastor Mark, it doesn't look like I'm blessed, doesn't feel like I'm blessed, doesn't seem like I'm blessed. That's why we don't, all that's lost, all that's under law talk right there. It's not about how things look, seem, and feel. It's not about what you've done to deserve or earn. It's not based upon you being good enough for God to bless you one day. See, that's religion. That's how people under the law think that we've got to somehow earn this ability. We got to somehow earn this type of favor or blessing. So we have to acknowledge, I have been blessed to be a blessing to others. I have been blessed to be a blessing to others. Blessing others means helping them succeed. And helping other people succeed is the key to experiencing the blessings you've already been given. Do you see this? This is how under the law, it was about obedience. And if you obeyed, you were blessed. If you disobeyed, you were cursed. In Christ, it's not about obedience. It's about opening a valve. It's about... certainly opening the valve. I'm not trying to speak out of both sides of my mouth, but the bigger issues are getting the junk out of our thinking that's preventing the flow. This is huge right here. What I'm trying to explain to you right here is huge. How many times do we ask God to do stuff for us that He's already done for us? We ask Him to give us stuff He's already given to us. And we don't understand that. All right, I want to at least get to these next verses. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. It says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. One translation says, and he who waters others will also be watered himself. And I think the tie-in to priming the pump and water flowing is an obvious one. This particular passage, I believe, comes most alive in the Passion Translation. And let me give that one to you. Proverbs 11:25 from the Passion Translation. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them, and the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. Who pours out his life to pour out blessings. Who pours out his life to pour out his blessings. Seems like the Apostle Paul said he was being poured out as a drink offering. What does it mean to pour yourself out? Pour yourself out. It's talking about deliberate, intentional actions that you do expressing love and service, even giving, are you following me, to other people. I got to read it again. Those who live to bless others. Do you see the difference here between living to be blessed? That was the whole focus of under the law. We're trying to develop a lifestyle that will earn God's blessing. We're trying to do good enough, long enough for God to show favor to us. It was about earning, and what have you done for God lately? Are you following me? Now, in the New Testament, it's not what can I do to be blessed, it's what can I do to bless others. Not what can I do to get, but what can I do to give. It's getting quiet up in here. I hope it's just because you're thinking. Amen. See, Jesus came to turn everything upside down. He said, if you want to be the first, be the last. If you want to be the greatest, be the least. If you want to be the most blessed, then be the biggest one who blesses others. Be the one who blesses other people and are more interested in other people succeeding. Right? Seek the kingdom first. Brother Don and I were talking about this after church last week. Jesus said, seek the kingdom first and God's ways of being and doing right. Put that first. And what did he say? Everything else will be added to you. Most people are trying to pursue all those things. Right? They're living for the things and trying to get the things. Jesus said, forget about the things. Focus on the kingdom. Focus on my ways of being and doing right. And you can't keep the things away from you. Why? Because they'll be pumped into you and through you. Hallelujah. All right. One last passage. Thank you, Lord. Got a lot here. We'll hold off on that passage. There's another thing that just keeps pumping up in me. Let's get to this for a moment, okay? If you understand how a pump works, and let's use the physical heart. When your heart muscles pump blood, they pull it into one chamber and push it out of the other in your heart, right? And it's constantly moving it. And so the question is it pulling the blood through or is it pushing the blood out? And the answer is yes. It's pulling and pushing. It's pulling and pushing. It's pulling and pushing. Are you following me? Okay. Now, when he says above all else, guard your heart, remember I asked you last week, have you ever stopped to really consider your heart is under attack 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? If you don't believe me, then you've never had the devil try to attack your heart in a dream at night. He will try to people who struggle with different things in their life haven't drank alcohol in years. They dream that they had gotten drunk. Had a brother that he's my first full-time employee, and he played college football and college sports, and he'd gotten a habit of using a smokeless tobacco. And, man, he talked about how hard it was to quit. He said, man, he said, and this is a very disciplined, very, I mean, again, took care of his body, athletic, watched what he ate, all this stuff. But he's like, man, you know, well, he had quit long before I knew him, but it'd been years. But he said every now and then he would still have a dream that he had so pinched between the cheek and gum. And he said, I'd wake up in a cold sweat, like, man, what have I done? And then realize, oh, I didn't, you know. So your heart's under attack. And the devil is very sneaky. Because here's the thing, your heart was designed by God to pump life out of your spirit into your body, into the world around you. But if you set your mind on the things of the flesh, it will try to draw the things of the flesh into you. I could tell you story after story after story of people that I've worked with over the years that have put addiction in their rearview mirror for a long period of time. One brother in particular, he was on staff at the foundry. He was working his way up. I think he was assistant manager, maybe. I don't know his exact title at the thrift store. But anyway, he went out to get the shopping carts, buggies, amen. People leave them in the parking lot. He went out to get them. And out of nowhere, a guy just walks up to him and hands him, didn't sell it to him, handed him, didn't know the guy, never seen the guy before, handed him his former drug of choice. And he used it, and he's doing well today. Amen. He's no longer with the foundry. He's doing well. He actually used that as an opportunity to really seek the Lord. He went back and was reunited with his children on another part of the country. But I'm not using his name, maybe watching this morning. But the point I'm trying to make is afterwards, I'm like, because we were very close, and I'm like, he's like, I should have talked to you, Pastor Morgan. He said, but I just started thinking about it. I started thinking about using. I started thinking about how that made me feel. I started thinking. Notice now what's happening. He set his mind on the things of the flesh. He's drawing it to himself now. Are you following me? He's drawing the things of the flesh because he set his mind on it. He's let that in his heart. Now his heart's trying to pump that into and through his life. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-mm-mm. Thank you, Lord. Anybody remember this one? I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well. Within my soul, spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well. Come on. And then my soul, spring up, oh well. And make me whole, spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Well, Father, we want that well to spring up. Lord, not just spring up and hit the backside of our souls, Lord, but we want it to spring up and burst its way through, Lord, and come out of our mouths, come out of our eyes, Lord, come out of our fingertips, Lord. The very life force of God flowing through us, the very blessing of God flowing through us, Father. Lord, that as we go about our daily lives, Father, that everywhere we go, we will be leaving a wake of blessing, Father. We will be leaving a wake of people who have been empowered to prosper and succeed and live the life that you created them to live. Father, I thank you that we are a greater force for life and light on this planet than we have yet to understand, Lord. We haven't acknowledged because we have no knowledge of the power that's in us to raise the dead, Lord, to set the captive free, to open blinded eyes, Father, to do the works that Jesus did and even greater works because you live in us and your kingdom is in us. And the very kingdom that produced every miracle Jesus performed on this earth as a man, that same kingdom is in us. The resources, the wealth, Lord, the power, the wisdom of your kingdom, Lord. So Father, we say spring up, oh well, spring up, oh well, within us. Remove every barrier, every hindrance, every lie that we've believed, every deception, Lord, the resistance that the enemy has used, Lord, that's nothing more than just, it's all smoke and mirrors, Father. He can't stop us unless we believe he can stop us, because he cannot stop us in the name of Jesus. He's no match for the blood of the Lamb. He's no match for the blood of the Lamb. He is no match for the blood of the Lamb. And so, Father, I thank you that you are revealing to you, you are revealing to us, Lord, and through us, Father, all that you desire to do, Lord, in our lives and through our lives, Father. Lord, I thank you that every person in this room that knows you is very rich. It's very rich. Every person listening to me online right now is very rich, including our brothers and sisters, Lord, who live in a developing country and may not have the same type of opportunities that we have here in this blessed nation of ours. But Father, it's not about where we live. It's about whose we are. It's about the kingdom that's in us. Spring up, oh well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we've been blessed to be a blessing. We've been empowered to empower others. And Father, it's when we are willing to do what it takes to empower others that we prime the pump and here comes the flow. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. Brush up on your spring up, oh wells. We'll have to sing that again sometime. Praise God. With somebody better equipped to lead it than myself. Know that you're loved. Good things coming. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the dads again. We love you. Thank you for being here this morning. We'll see you Wednesday night, if not before.